Hello, this is James Grunberg with Decentralized.media on Unrestricted Warfare. I got a very special guest, first-time guest. After 1,000 episodes between Amp Media and what I've been doing for the last 6 months, her name is Reggie Littlejohn, and she is the founder of several organizations, and we'll just introduce it to you. She's involved in women's rights, children's rights, fighting the global imperialists, and the importance of sovereignty, right? National borders and things of that nature. So we're going to dive into it. So we're going to play one of our first videos now from her company, Women's Rights Without Frontiers.org. Here.
According to one UN estimate, there are up to 200 million women and girls missing in the world because of sex selective abortion and abandonment. That number, 200 million, is greater than all the casualties of all the wars of the 20th century combined. So for me, this is the true war against women. Something that people don't realize is that even under the new two-child policy, or even if there was no coercive birth control in China at all, there'd still be gendercide, because people, for whatever reason, they prefer boys over girls. After the two-child policy was instituted, there was an incident of a woman whose husband forced her to abort four baby girls in a year. And then she died. Women's Rights Without Frontiers is unique in that we are the only organization that has a network inside of China that is actively saving baby girls. And we've saved hundreds of baby girls in China. One story that was particularly meaningful to me was of this one woman who was being pressured to have an ultrasound. And she dragged her feet, finally went into the ultrasound, and discovered not only did she have one, but she was carrying two baby girls. So even under the two-child policy, she would have used up her entire quota and both of them would have been girls. So her mother-in-law started the pressure for her to abort those baby girls, and she didn't want to. She wanted to give birth to her daughters, and she didn't know what to do. So fortunately, our field worker found out about this and went to her door and said, "Congratulations on your twin daughters. Girls are as good as boys, and we're not only going to offer you one, but we will offer you two monthly stipends for a year to empower you to keep your daughters." And with the encouragement and with the promise of resources, she was able to convince her mother-in-law, convince her husband, to allow her to give birth to these girls. And now, of course, everybody's in love with these baby girls. They're totally adorable. And we at Women's Rights Without Frontiers believe that every girl has a right to draw breath on this earth, and that every woman has the right to give birth to her daughter. Girls do not deserve to be terminated just for the crime of being female. Our field workers on the ground in China are incredibly brave. They're flying under the radar screen from the Chinese Communist Party at great risk for themselves. They go in rain, sleet, snow, and make sure that those women get that stipend every month that helps them support their daughters. And they need our help. So I would invite you to join me in what I think is the greatest women's rights battle of our age.
Very impressive, Reggie. Please introduce yourself to the audience. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Reggie Littlejohn. I'm the founder and president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers, co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition, and founder and president of Anti-Globalist International. I don't know if you want me to go into my own background or...
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Okay, so I'm a graduate of Yale Law School. I practiced litigation in the San Francisco Bay Area for 7 or 8 years. And during that time, I represented a refugee in her case for political asylum in the United States. And she was forcibly sterilized meaning that they literally picked her up and dragged her out of her home, screaming and crying and pleading, held her down to a table, performed a tubal ligation, which is abdominal surgery without anesthesia. And she ended up with a massive infection and was permanently disabled from that time to the time that I represented her in her case. And that's when I learned in the mid 90s that China's one child policy was not voluntary, which is what their propaganda machine had convinced the world that it was voluntary. So long story short, I ended up quitting the practice of law. And then I used all the skills I gained as a lawyer to advocate on behalf of the women and the babies of China. Our first aim was to show the world that forced abortion was happening under the one-child policy. And, you know, I can go into all kinds of chapter and verse about that. But the Chinese Communist Party boasted many years ago, like more than 10 years ago, that they prevented 400 million lives through the one-child policy. I think the number at this point is probably closer to 500, most of which were forced abortions. And some of these forced abortions were up to the ninth month of pregnancy. And some were so violent that the women themselves died along with their full-term babies. Now they have a three-child policy and they're desperate for more children. But even though there is a three-child policy, there is still sex-selective, either abortion or more commonly neglect and abandonment, because people want a boy in China. Most, not everybody, but most people want a boy. So there's a pattern of under the three-child policy, couples will let the first girl, the first child is a girl, so they'll let her live. And the second child, second girl, and God forbid it's a third daughter, those are at high risk of being given away, especially after COVID and how all that hit. The farming families in the countryside where we are just, they can't afford to raise a second or a third daughter. And so the mothers are being forced to give up their babies. So what we do is we are the only organization in the world that has a network on the ground inside of China. And these are Chinese local people. They're not Americans in China, who are able to go to these women and offer them financial support and encouragement and enable them to keep their daughters. We offer them $25 a month for a year, and sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's 2 or even 3 years. And they're able to go to their husbands and their mothers-in-law and say, look, I can't abandon this girl. She's a lucky girl. She's already bringing money into the family. And we've saved hundreds of baby girls that way.
It's amazing. Let's talk about two things. Let's talk about the demographic time bomb that China has, and that's why they're going to a three-kid policy, I assume. And let's talk about the other thing where I think there's more young men than there's young women. And correct me if I'm wrong, but let's start off with the first one. There's a demographic time bomb, not only in China, but Japan and the West as well. But there, you know, a lot of the silver generation are aging out. There's not enough to replace them at the bottom. So, but let's talk about China specifically.
Right. So China has basically, they were trying to limit the family size for financial reasons. And meanwhile, they have already painted themselves into a financial corner that they can't get out of. I mean, they, you know, so they basically, I think it was about a year or two ago, their working age population started declining. Meanwhile, their aging population is skyrocketing. And they are desperate to have kids. They now have a three-child policy, and they are, you know, and they're trying to encourage women to have babies. But, you know, they have done such a good job of browbeating everybody into believing that one kid is what you should have, whichever, you know, and so they're not able to replace it. So they're sitting. They are facing, you know, a senior tsunami, where they're just going to be, they have no idea what they're going to do with all these senior citizens and not a young population to support them. And what's happening with the seniors is that they're being neglected by their own children, if, you know, if they have any, because they, okay, under traditional Chinese society, number one, senior citizens were venerated.
Yes.
As being, you know, wise. And under traditional Chinese society, children were loved and adored. And it was a very, very family oriented society where you'd have three or four generations living under one roof. So when the seniors got older, they would have an extended farming family to support them. And now under the one-child policy, couples of childbearing age find themselves responsible for themselves, to support themselves, to support their four, you know, they each have their four parents. Right.
They can't live their life essentially. I got three or four really close friends of mine. They're all Chinese women. They're in their 50s. They're born and raised in China. And they're talking about exactly the problem you have, right? They have a lot of respect and love for their parents, but the whole dynamic is changing now, right? Societal change, cultural change. What is it?
Well, okay. So there's an economic change. The couple has to support themselves and their four parents and then even grandparents. And then also their one child, or now the government is trying to pressure them into having two or three children. They can't do it financially. So these elderly people are, and the government's not supporting them, or at least not adequately. They're like destitute. So that's when we figured out that widows in the Chinese countryside are what I call the invisible victims of the one-child policy, because they're just abandoned, and a lot of them are committing suicide. I mean, senior suicide in the Chinese countryside is a major problem, especially among the women. So we started a Save a Widow campaign, which we have a video for that one as well, if you want to play it.
I'll play it right now. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
China has the highest female suicide rate of any country in the world. According to statistics quoted by the State Department, 590 women a day kill themselves in China, and countless more try. China's senior suicide rate has skyrocketed over the last 20 years in conjunction with a one-child policy. In fact, it has increased 500% over the last 20 years. So there's a population of widows in China that are utterly destitute and completely lonely. They feel that nobody in the world cares for them, and they don't have resources. One of the widows that we're supporting, couple days a week, she would eat only salt because she had no money to buy food. And she bought herself a rope to hang herself with someday when life got too tough. So we have a network of field workers inside of China. That network has been saving baby girls for years. But over the years, I've become more and more aware of elderly and completely abandoned widows in our area. So the same network that's saving girls is also saving these abandoned widows. And we go to their doors and we say to them, we understand that you need help, and so we're here to help you. And they are grateful beyond any imagination for this. The reaction for so many of them is, my own family has abandoned me, and yet people from the other side of the world are coming to my door to let me know that I'm loved and then make sure that I can eat. One of our widows said, I believe that you were sent by God in His mercy and that you're an angel. That's what she said to our field worker. It doesn't take much to make an incredible difference to somebody in the latter years of her life. And so I would invite you to join me in having an incredibly great impact on widows in China and hopefully in the rest of the world as well.
That is a beautiful campaign. It's an amazing story. I guess once you figure out you got to save the children, and then you learn about these widows out in the hinterland, That's actually very touching, and it's very important, right? They're not forgotten. Reggie, very inspirational.
Well, this is the thing, is that these widows are women who have poured out their lives, and they've lived through everything from, you know, the Cultural Revolution. And, you know, I mean, their lives parallel or part of Chinese history. And they are in a situation where they are just so desperate. And no one has ever just offered to help them because they need help.
Not even their government,
which
they worked for at one time. Come on.
Especially not their government. Especially not the government. See, the Chinese government is officially atheistic, as you know.
Yep.
And so what that means is they have a very materialistic view of people. So you are only worth what you can produce. So once you have spent your life out producing children, producing crops in the field, you know, living through untold hardship, surviving who knows what, wars and whatever else, you know, and you can't produce anymore, you're worthless and, you know, useless eaters. And so we come to them, we say, you're a human being created by God in his image, which is something they've never heard. And so we want to help you. And a lot of these women are actually coming to faith. Our network in China is Christian. And they are actually, what they're doing is illegal because it's illegal to evangelize in China. But we have a lot, the Chinese government knows I'm doing this, but they don't know where I'm doing it. And China's a big country, so we've been able to, you know, to stay under the radar.
It's called stealth mode.
Yeah, we're in stealth mode, and we've been doing this for more than 10 years now, and we've never been caught. So thank God for that.
Knocking wood.
Yeah. So having been confronting the Chinese Communist Party and the brutality of the one-child policy, I became very concerned to see similar tactics and the China model coming to the United States and to the world through the COVID-19 crisis and the way that we're the health organization.
And we're seeing that in our blue cities, aren't we? We're seeing this in San Fran. I used to live in New York City for 30 years. I moved down in 2021 to come down to Florida for the reasons you're talking about. There are many reasons, but I have an autistic 24-year-old son I couldn't defend if the city went completely bonkers, which it's on the precipice of doing now. And I'm like, well, I have to get out. So I saw that writing on the wall 3-4 years ago. And then Philadelphia's got a problem, right? There's drug problems, there's homeless problems. So the American government or the Biden regime, whatever you want to call it, is not taking care of their own people. So we're seeing sort of what you discovered in China is actually happening here, but at a quick pace, isn't it?
Right. And so when COVID broke out and the World Health Organization started parroting the lies of the Chinese Communist Party, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
So specifically, they said something like there's no human to human transmission. The vaccine is, you know, safe and effective.
It's the only way. The vaccine.
Right. So it's the only way. I think I heard you correctly. The vaccine is the only way to deal with this illness, you know, that there's early treatment, all of that. You know, these are not true statements. And a lot of them come from China, like, oh, China, you know, the COVID had to have come from a bat, transmission from a bat and all this, as opposed to a lab leak. They were just parroting China's lies. And then they started, you know, parroting the China model of handling it, like quarantines, lockdowns, vaccine mandates, mask mandates. And so then what I was very, very concerned about, what convinced me that I needed to basically completely redirect my energy was what they called at the time vaccine passports.
Yep.
And now they don't call them that anymore because we made, I believe it's because I co-founded another organization called the Stop Vaccine Passports Task Force, which is actually still existing. It's got some
You and about thousands of us in the podcast world have been on day one and been attacking the vaccine passports long before the vaccines ever came out. I have a vaccine injured 24-year-old son, so I've been in the vaccine war since 2004, to be honest with you. I wrote a book on the corruption of CDC in 2016. I've known about Anthony Fauci for 10 years. I've been at the front of this for a long, long time. And I made the connection, not necessarily the first one, but one of the few to make the connection between it's going to be the vaccine plus 5G that's going to try to exterminate a lot of us, right? And mimic a pandemic in which 100 people will die in the street. But that won't be from the virus. That'll be from the vaccine, and that'll be from 5G. That's what's coming, but they can't do it anymore.
Well, what I was concerned about is, I understand what you're saying, but what I was concerned about was the vaccine passport as a tool of totalitarian control, similar to the China social credit system. So in China, you know, through my work in China, I was aware of the China social credit system, which if your listeners don't know, every aspect of a person's life in China is surveilled, and it's all consolidated onto an like an app on their phone. So they surveil. They have, of course, facial recognition. They have gait recognition. So if your face is covered with a mask and sunglasses, they can recognize you through the way you walk.
Correct.
They have real-time geolocation through wherever your phone is.
Correct.
Then it's connected to your bank account and your credit cards, your medical history, your criminal history, your internet search history, so that if you search for things they don't like you searching for example, Tiananmen Square massacre, that will get you in a heck of trouble. And then so basically every aspect of your life is surveilled, and they come up with a score. And that score indicates their assessment of how reliable of a Chinese communist sheep you are.
Yeah, how compliant you are. And if you're not compliant, they're gonna block all access to everything you mentioned, plus you know, boarding public transportation. So you become an outcast in society, correct?
Exactly. And not only do you become an outcast, but they will make an outcast of your friends and family too. So you become completely isolated. You know, like let's say that I'm an outcast and my friend has lunch with me. She's going to become an outcast because she had lunch with me. And that's what they do. Okay. And they've been doing this for decades to dissidents. Like, you know, if a dissident is put in jail, anyone who helps his wife and their children is going to also, you know, suffer consequences.
They become radioactive, essentially.
Exactly. And so it was actually Naomi Wolf who alerted me and the world to the fact that this vaccine passports can serve as the technical platform for the China social credit system coming to the United States. Because it's not just vaccine passports, and by the way, they don't call them that anymore.
They can't even call them a health passport. They got to call them they want an ID passport now, but except for the illegal invaders or the migrants, whatever you want to call them.
Right, so they went from vaccine passport, which we made that name radioactive, to digital health card, which is also radioactive at this point. So now they just call them a digital ID.
Exactly.
And so if you go onto the World Economic Forum website, there's a chart that shows all the different aspects of your life that will be affected by the digital ID, that you will need a functional digital ID in order to access, meaning you need to be in good standing to access.
And they certainly don't want farmers and sovereign citizens growing their own food and living off the grid. They want us all connected to the grid. But, you know, Reg, you and I, before the show, we talked about the problems they face. Some of the problems they're going to face, state like Florida, a state like Texas. In 2026, Texas is going to have a gold-backed currency. Florida has already come out and banned CBDCs. Right, the central bank digital currency is not allowed in the state of Florida. Cash will still be legal tender in the state of Florida. So they're going to, so the World Health Organization I'm driving at is going to have a very difficult time convincing parts of the United States to give up our sovereignty. We're just not going for it. So what challenges does that present to globalists?
Well, I mean, that is a very powerful way of fighting back. It's a very, very powerful way of fighting back. So states' rights are very important, and it's not just with the CBDCs are hugely important. I don't know how familiar your audience is with the CBDC, but it's Okay, so central bank digital currency, and it's completely different from cash because in cash you can just give cash to somebody and it's not traceable. Whereas with the CBDC, they will know, you know, where you are, what you want to buy, who you want to buy it from.
Then they machine learn your spending habits, your behavior, your location. It's another spy weapon at the end of the day.
It's a spy weapon for sure, and it will go into your social credit score. You know, like if you buy guns or ammo or something that they don't like you buying, that is for sure going to flag you for them. But not only that, but it's also controllable. They can say, oh, you have not had your vaccine or your booster, so you can't spend your money, you can't leave your home, and so your credit card will not, your CBDC will not work, you know, within walking distance. You can only use it at home. Or if you start criticizing them online, like you and I are doing, they can just turn it off entirely, and so you can't buy anything at all.
And then they can ration your food, and then they can, in fact, give you government-made food, with GMO food, which is a toxic poison food, and give you Klaus Schwab crickets for lunch, you know, and things like that. So I know it's a very dangerous system they want to implement, but they're going to have a very difficult time to do it. Why? One is Agenda 2030 has been delayed by President Trump coming in. Him coming in, he's a disruptor in chief. They're 6 years behind schedule. I talked to many people who know a thing or two about technocracy. They're 6 years behind schedule on Agenda 2030. If they had their way, it would take them another 10 years to roll it out. They're nowhere near yet doing it. They don't have the compute power. They don't have the machine learning power. You talk about billions and billions and billions of people and trillions of information. They're not there yet. And every day they're delayed, we are waking up and waking up more people. That is the good news. The disruption is actually good news.
Right. So there's another disruption that needs to happen right away. And I agree with you that we are in a race with the globalists.
Correct.
I mean, so the globalists have a trap that they want to snap shut on us before we can wake enough people up. So the trap is these digital IDs on one hand and the CBDCs on the other. And that if you put those two together, those are like the two jaws of a trap that they want to snap shut. And we are trying to delay the vote at the World Health Organization, which is supposed to take place on May 27th to June 2nd.
Right, 27. And I just had Astrid Stuckelberger on a show I recorded before this one. And she, you know, used to work at the World Health Organization up until a year ago. And she said, the first time ever, they're not going to televise the actual discussion inside the World Health Organization.
They're not. Oh no.
Well, because they've got to hide what they're doing. And
okay.
she assured me, this guy, I know it's going to piss you off, but she assured me that it's going to get rammed through no matter what. So even if they don't even get the 2/3 vote, it's going to get ratified no matter what, because they got mechanisms for it. So we just have to assume it's going to get rammed through.
Okay, no, wait a minute, okay? Because I'm trying to stop this, all right? So you got to hear me out.
Listen, the floor is yours. I'm not here to debate you, but I can, if you want me to put you in touch directly with Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger.
Yes, I do.
Out of Geneva, Switzerland. I will do that after the show.
Please do. She's awesome. She's totally awesome.
I love her.
And I am dismayed to hear this. Because I was going to go, I mean, I am going to go to Geneva to be there for this,
Maybe you can meet her. Both of you crashed the gate.
I want to, and we can strategize, but it never occurred to me that they would not be televising this vote.
No, she said absolutely not. Definitely not happening. She already, complained to the United Nations, like, if you're a real democracy, this votes for the people of the world. And, you know, and so she's already attacking them, just letting you know.
Well, I want to get together with her because this is outrageous. This is absolutely outrageous. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm sorry, but I'm just learning this on your show, and I'm absolutely outraged.
I am with you 100% in your outrage.
Okay, but let me tell you what we're trying to do. Although this is a new piece of information. Okay.
Yep.
So there are two instruments that are going to be voted on this May 27th to June 2nd meeting of the World Health Assembly. It's an annual meeting.
Yep.
One is the new version of the Pandemic Treaty, or not the new version. It's a new treaty, okay? Which they're refusing to call a treaty. They're calling it an accord or an agreement because they don't want it to have to go through, for example, the U.S. Senate. And then the other one is amendments to the international health regulations. And between these two, they will create a biotech surveillance police state. And the core of it is these digital IDs, but there's a lot more to it as well. And the problem is that according to the international health regulations of 2005, the standing ones that are still valid, they have to submit all amendments for at least 4 months in advance before a vote. And we just got a new version late last week, and they're negotiating another new version in the next couple weeks. So they have broken their own rules. And so we are calling for that vote to be delayed. Okay. Now, yep. The Biden administration and the World Health Organization are just doing everything they can to ram this through because they are worried about Trump, for example, coming back into office, who will be significantly less amenable to this.
And he's coming back in office, but that's a different story for a different day. Continue.
Okay, well, and so what we want to do is delay it because number one, they've broken their own rules. Number two, the rule makes sense because this stuff is, number one, complicated, and number two, extremely weighty. And the world needs to be able to discuss this and what the implications are. So that's what we're doing. We have a campaign on the Sovereignty Coalition called Not Now. And I would urge people to go to sovereigntycoalition.org and sign that campaign. And what that's going to do is if you sign up on our platform, it automatically goes to, or you can click a button and it will go to your senators and your congressional representative. And that will alert them to the fact that this is happening and that you don't like it because Congress is mostly asleep about this whole issue.
Yes.
And if we can get it delayed, then hopefully we can get a new administration in office and we can wake up enough people through shows like this that we can create more resistance on behalf of, you know, not just Texas, not just Florida, but all the red states, hopefully, and maybe even some of the blue ones, because this shouldn't be a blue or red issue. This is an American issue. And it's not just an American issue. It's a global issue, which is why I founded Anti-Globalist International, to take this resistance global.
Yes, the resistance has to go global. It's about natural law, not the man-made law created by a bunch of oligarchs and power-hungry, I like to call them thieves. I mean, Bill Gates, Fauci, Klaus Schwab, they're all thieves, in my opinion. They've been stealing from the middle class for the last 4 years. You can call inflation whatever you want. So this is another form of tax to me. And actually, the younger generation is now feeling it for the first time. The last 6 months have been very painful for them. Just food prices alone. So how do we wake up more people, Reggie? How does this happen?
You're doing a great job right here.
No, and I'm not alone. There's hundreds and there's thousands of us, and we're doing the best we can. They're going to go full censorship on us at some point. It's why we're building a decentralized platform. Literally,
oh, really?
We're going to be on a Web3 technology backbone. Why? They can take out one node, but they can't take all of us out. That's the plan. We're not going to allow them to dictate. Well, we're going to take our servers offline or take our our URL down. No, we're fighting back. Reggie, go ahead.
Well, I mean, we should also talk afterwards about that because yes. I want perhaps to get onto your platform. All right. Because I don't want to be censored. You know, I'm going to be one of the people along with you that's going to be one of the first censored.
Absolutely. We could talk about that.
Okay. So I would encourage everybody to go to www.antiglobalist.net. antiglobalist.net, and you're going to have to type it into the search bar, because if you just search for it, you will not find it. You know, you'll have to scroll through. I don't know how many pages of, you know, conspiracy theory, but anyway, on that platform, on that website, the Anti-Globalist International, we have a manifesto, which is taking on not just the World Health Organization, but the United Nations, World Economic Forum, and you know the World Bank as and saying that this is a global coup d'etat to take away our national sovereignty, personal medical freedom, and just shove us into a situation where I'm, in my opinion, it's really almost kind of a master serf or neo-feudalist situation where there's
Let me read. I'm on your website right now, the Anti-Globalist International Manifesto. Let me just read the first sentence for the audience. We are living in a globalist coup effectuated by an international elite determined to enslave humanity to its own advantage. Go ahead, Reggie. I love that opening line. Go ahead.
That's just what it is. And so we're just trying desperately to fight back. And so I would ask everybody to go to antiglobus.net and sign the manifesto and share it with as many people as you can. And what that will do is it'll put you on my newsletter, and then I'll be able to get in touch with you, and we can be in touch about how to resist this stuff.
Correct.
And I would say also that this is a faith-based organization, because I believe that the globalists are anti-God ultimately.
They are.
They want to change our genetics.
They are.
Yuval Noah Harari says, free will is over. It's over, you know? Well, free will is at the center of what God made us to be, and we need God to fight this back. We're not going to be able to do it in human power.
Well, I'm going to bring up a real quick image for you. Daniel 2:35. You have the Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You have the statue of multi-materials. That statue metaphorically represents the five kingdoms, right? The five empires, going from Babylon all the way to the one world religion we're trying to resist now. That is literally, but it's a rock from the mountain that strikes down the feet. What is that rock? To me, that rock is divine law. That's God's law. We got to bring God's law back instead of the maritime law that's been rammed down our throats for the last thousands of years. Reggie, go ahead.
Well, gosh, I don't really know where to go from that. But anyway, so it is absolutely essential that everybody get activated now. Don't think about, I'll do it next week or next month or next year, or I'll do it once, you know, this or that happens or whatever, because once this trap snaps shut, yep. Once there is an international interoperable digital ID and a CBDC, there will be no more dissent, because as soon as you start to dissent, they'll just shut you off from your credit cards, your bank accounts, your healthcare, travel,
everything,
paying your taxes, and all aspects of modern society. And they'll shut you off from your friends and family too, because anybody who helps you is going to get shut off as well. So you'll become a complete pariah. We have to stop this before this traps. We need to escape with it before the trap snaps shut.
I agree with you, Reggie, completely. You got 8 minutes before you have to go a little bit early, which is a-okay. I got the rest of the show. This is really important. You know, it's amazing that you come from an elite college, Yale. You had some protests here on Gaza, yes, you know, the past couple of days. You had protests also at Columbia, protests at NYU. I'm not going to talk about the Gaza-Israel situation, but it's just another man-made crisis created by the globalists, in my opinion, by the bankers, by the elites. They want all of this chaos. They want all these distractions. They want us distracted from the real issue, which is what you're talking about. The digital trap, right, where they fully control our lives. I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Yale, and when I was there, I was just a part of the community. You know, it wasn't like I was a dissident or anything. I was as far left as anybody else. But then I had a situation where I almost died, and I was like, after being an attorney for 8 years, and I got really, really sick and didn't know whether I was going to live or whether I was going to die. And it was at that point where I really just sort of cast myself into the arms of the Lord and said, look, God, you know, if you want to let me live, may my life be worth living. And that is when,
love that.
And then that is when He gave me this tremendous hunger for His word. I just kept reading the Bible over and over and over again. And, you know, you get washed by the cleansing of the word, and came out the way that I am now. And it was a 5-year process. I was on federal disability for 5 years. I was like in a cocoon for 5 years.
So a woman as smart as you were taken out 5 years. You couldn't use your great, you know, mental gifts. That's absolutely amazing. And now you're back fighting for the Lord and for the people, which is the same thing. That is an amazing story there, Reggie. I'm very, you know, I was a believer in God from day one, just to let you know. From day one. At 6 years old, I asked God what was my purpose of life. Of course, God didn't answer a little six-year-old that day or that year or that decade, but he put a little breadcrumbs in, and I'm here for the last 4 years fighting this war against this tyrannical beast system, which is what it is. We're fighting the beast out of Babylon. This is what we're fighting.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. I believe that these are the end times, and I believe that that God chose every one of us to be here during these end times because we all have a role to play in fighting the beast. And yes, you're going to have to answer to God if you just say, well, no, I'm just going to, you know, coast or whatever it is.
You can't sit on the sidelines. You have to. You can't be quiet. You have to stick up for human rights, for God's rights. You really have to do that. You have to spread the word. Yeah, you know, there's so many different things. Jesus didn't come in peace is one. Another one, Jesus is the sword that divides family nations. Well, the vaccines didn't divide family nations. The truth divides family nations. So the truth is the most important thing that we can bring out. That is part of the resistance. Once you see the truth, why would you go for tyranny? I would never do it, correct?
Right. And one of my favorite scriptures, this comes from the end of Romans, is, may the God of peace crush Satan under your feet.
The beautiful one. You know what's interesting? I just learned the word tribulations was derived from the Latin word tribulum. And I learned that the word tribulum is actually a threshing board. And a threshing board does what? It separates the chaff and the wheat. The wheat, God's children, the chaff are the elites and the elite pawns. And the people that are ego-driven, the people are money-driven, the people are anti-human, right? They're selfish. And this, we're going, the tribulations in Revelation is exactly what we're going through right now. We are separating the wheat from the chaff.
And that's what happened in a lot of ways. You know, like in the medical field, the doctors that went along with and just became intimidated by, you know, the CDC and all the, you know, are separated from the doctors who rebelled and who stood up and who prescribed for their patients things that they knew were going to be life-saving drugs. And so then those doctors, now a lot of them have lost their licenses, but they have become the dream team of the resistance.
Yes.
And it's the same with other fields as well. The people who are going along are the chaff, and the people who are resisting are the wheat, and we're all banding together. And so I'm so happy to have met you, James. And I think this is going to be a relationship going forward.
It's going to be a relationship. I want to bring you and Astrid together on a show. I think that'd be amazing.
That'd be great.
I'm serious about that. You both got great. You're both really driven for the truth, which is all that matters in humanity, and that's what we have to do. I'm going to, you know, when you leave, I'm going to still show your websites and things of that nature. I got them all on a PowerPoint deck to close out the show. You got 2 or 3 minutes, close out any direction you like, Reggie. Go ahead. Floor's yours.
Well, I would say that it's really important for every person to take some time and get quiet and just seek God and just say, Lord, what would you have me do? Don't just go back. Don't say, okay, I heard this interview. That was amazing. It's kind of disturbing. Oh, well, what's for dinner? I mean, your life is at stake. Your freedom is at stake. The sovereignty of this country is at stake. The freedom in the world is at stake. And the time to act is now. Because if we don't act now, it's going to be too late very, very shortly. And so, you know, don't say, oh, gosh, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'll tell you one thing. You can go on to antiglobalist.net and sign that manifesto, and then you'll be in touch with me, and I will be sending you things that you can do. And you can send it to other people. You can send this interview to other people and just say, look, you have to listen to this. You have to listen to this. This is happening now. We've got to do something. You know, talk to your friends, talk to your family, share them on social media. But everybody has to do something. You can't just do nothing.
Reggie Littlejohn, I'm definitely bringing you back. Yes, it's the start of a beautiful relationship. This is what God does. It connects us together. So we actually build an army of truthers. I'm apolitical. I care less about politics. You're either for the truth or you're in the dark kingdom. One or the other. There is no in-between. None. Right? You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the dark kingdom. The choice is yours.
Absolutely. Amen, brother.
Thank you, Reggie, Little John. You're amazing. I will share all the information with you. Good luck in your meeting. And then you and I will reconnect in the next day or two.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Time for the PowerPoint deck as Reggie has to leave.
Okay. So what I want to do, let's see, what time is it? Oh my, I have to go right now.
Oh, yeah, I'll call you afterwards. We'll talk afterwards.
Okay. My meeting should end at something like 3. I don't know.
We'll talk at 3.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Take care. Bye.
All right, audience. Got about 8 minutes left in the show. She had to go to a meeting. We had a little delay in the recording. She's an amazing woman. So women's right without frontiers, but she's a lot more than just women's rights. And she's more than babies' rights. And she's more than widows' rights. Reggie Littlejohn, I'm just blown away. I got to learn in the last hour. We never talked before the show, and just an amazing dialogue she and I had. You know where to find this show and others. You got to support what we're doing. We're going to war. So I'm going to play 2 videos after this PowerPoint deck. But this, the 2 videos I'm playing relate to Mari Emanuel, right? The Assyrian preacher out of Australia was stabbed. I'm not going to show that video. I'm not here to promote that kind of violence. The bishop. Right. But Elon Musk, Australia now, is really pissed off that this video and others about Mari Emanuel preaching God, preaching Jesus Christ, preaching law is floating around Australia, meaning the censorship industrial complex cannot stop what's already happened. And Elon Musk, more he delays a response, the more shares that this video and others like it go around. So kudos to Elon Musk. So I know I showed this with Dr. Astrid Zuckerberg. I was going to talk to Reggie about this, but she had to leave. But the WHO press conference warns of global avian influenza. There is no such thing as an avian flu. It is a bioweapon. Whatever they're going to give us, it's not a virus. It's going to be a toxin. It's going to be a poison. Just letting you know where we're heading. WHO's chief? Remember back in February? This is February this year. WHO chief, dire warning, disease X. Well, avian flu has been around forever, as you see on the right. Millions killed, right? That's the lie in their propaganda. But at the end of the day, remember they disease X, Marburg, all this nonsense, right? They're trying to find the right disease to scare the remaining sheep. That's what they're trying to do. Disease X certainly didn't work at all. So now what? Now it's avian flu and H1N1 and all that fun stuff. Who cares? Just stay out of the way. Just stay healthy. Go get some sunshine, eat properly, get some exercise. Nutrition's important. Do not get vaccinated. There. I'm not a medical doctor, but that's my advice anyway as a side. So this is going back to Regula. Girls are being targeted for death. She's 100% right about that in China. Just because they're girls, right? And that's another thing. And then here you're going to find Reggie's websites. Just amazing. Women's Rights Without Frontiers.org. Antiglobalist.net. Highly recommend that one. I found it using the Russian search engine, Yandex, YANDEX.com. It is so much better than Google. It is so much better than DuckDuckGo, because all DuckDuckGo is hide your anonymity, but it still uses Google. It just veils who you are, but it still uses Google. Google, what, controls the censorship? It's the censorship machine. It downranks, disappears articles. So I use Yandex.com in Russia because it's the only place I can find truth, and it's in English. Only place to find truth on tons of articles that were published 4 or 5 years ago that you can't find on Google today at all. So think about that. So go to antiglobalist.net. And Reggie's last one is sovereigntycoalition.org. That's also Amazing. She knows we're at war with the globalists. She originally wanted to come on and talk about the World Health Organization pandemic treaty, but we decided to cover everything that we covered today because it's important. So take your time, write these down, take a, you know, freeze this video, take a picture of these websites, go visit them, and sign the manifesto on antiglobalist.net. Now let me play you two quick videos for the bishop out of Australia, because we're not going to be silenced. Even if they stab us, it's not happening. We're not giving up. Because remember what they say, fear only God? Well, fear God. Because if you don't step up into this fight in whatever capacity you can, you should fear God on a day of judgment. That's all I can tell you. Let's go to video, the first video here.
You need the Lord. You, any country, any nation introduces laws that are offensive to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the head of that nation will be brought down to the ground by Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself, Australia. So the Prime Minister walks in the streets and says to these colors, this is the new Australia. You have no idea what the Lord is going to do to you and to your Australia. Do you think it's easy? You introduce laws that offend God, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you think you can get away with it? No America, no nation can protect Australia from the hands of the Lord Jesus.
I'll interpret that in 2 seconds. So what I surprised Reggie Littlejohn about was what? That story out of Daniel talking about the rock of God destroying the statue. What's the rock of God? The rock of God is God's law, is the laws of Jesus Christ. That's coming back. That is what the bishop's talking about without even mentioning Daniel, the statue, or anything else. That is what in Australia is part of the beast system. So are all the other countries in the West and many countries elsewhere in the world. We're going back to destroy the beast system and free the people of the world. Next video from the bishop. Again, very important.
They attacked every Christian country. America, they took the Bibles out of schools. They introduced laws against the Lord Jesus. Australia, Canada. Oh my goodness. Canada. Europe. So many churches in Europe are now museums, empty places, and probably being turned into restaurants and God knows what else. In Europe, the biggest number where Christians are walking away from Christ is Europe. Christian countries have walked away from the Lord. Why? Because the beast and the kings of the earth are gathering together to make war with the Lord Jesus and his army. They're not interested in the Lord Jesus anymore. Even if they kill me for the sake of the Lord, please be my guest. Don't ever sell your Lord Jesus.
They tried to kill him. He survived. It's an amazing, amazing. I wish we had a bishop like that in the United States. We have a lot of pastors that are like a little flimsy. We certainly had most of the churches, 98 or 99% closing during COVID. So, you know, they're more concerned about their tax status. And right, most of those churches do what? They don't teach anything about Genesis. You know, or they do a little, when you're a little kid, about maybe Noah's Ark and maybe about the, you know, the pillar of salt, you know, Lot's wife and Sodom, right? They teach little things like that, cute stories. But they don't go to Daniel. They don't go into Revelation. They don't go to any of that stuff. They certainly don't talk about Enoch. The book's been left out, right? They don't talk about the Gospel of Thomas, left out. They don't talk about Esdras, left out. And you should read all of them, or Jubilees. And the Dead Sea Scrolls found a lot of them. And so that became the second witness. So anyone says, well, the Bible's fake, good luck with that, right? The Bible's written in the last 500 years. It wasn't. It was edited in the last 500 years, stepped on, some parts omitted, but it's absolutely real. So you got one task today, audience. Please go to antiglobalist.net, sign the manifesto, Let's take our lives back, take the country back, take the world back. We the people is the only way we win. This is James Grevick signing off. Everyone, love you. Have a great night. Talk to you later.